is this? The crowds were asking, who is this man that has come into Jerusalem? Who is this man who has caused turmoil in our city? The crowds wanted to know. They would have gotten a different answer depending on who they asked. To many of the common people, he was a miracle Jesus. Well, at least that's what they wanted. They were attracted to him when they saw him healing the lame, the blind, and the sick. And they clamored for more. But there were times when he wouldn't perform the miracles that they wanted. And he disappointed them. To the Pharisees, he was a ritual Jesus. Well, at least that's what they wanted. They thought the most important matter of religion was to be found not in how they believed or prayed, but in how they dressed and washed and ate. But Jesus often broke the rules, and he upset the Pharisees. He broke the Sabbath. He ate with the unclean. He defied the laws of purification. The Pharisees, they wanted a ritual Jesus, but he disappointed them. To the Zealots, he was a military Jesus. Well, at least that's what they wanted. The Zealots expected Jesus to take up a sword and call his followers to arms at any moment. They clearly wanted Jesus to be the leader of their resistance. But Jesus said, all those who take the sword will die by the sword. The Zealots wanted a military Jesus, but he disappointed them. To the disciples, he was a victorious Jesus. Well, at least that's what they wanted. They dreamed of the time when he would come into his kingdom and wondered aloud which of them would be the one that was to sit at his right hand. They had such high hopes. But Jesus kept up this negative talk about his death. He made clear that following him meant taking up our cross. Disciples wanted a victorious Messiah, but Jesus disappointed them. These groups, they were in the crowd that first Palm Sunday, each with their own private view of Jesus. And as people waved the palm branches and shouted, Hosanna! Many thought they were finally getting what they wanted. But before they knew it, Friday arrived, and things turned dark very quickly. And as they watched Jesus' lifeless body up there on the cross, their disappointments prevail, and they realize they did not get what they wanted. But little did they know, they get exactly what they needed. Do you find that the Jesus you want and the Jesus you need are sometimes two different people? Author Philip Yancey answers this question in the book called The Jesus I Never Knew by saying, and I quote, I first got acquainted with Jesus when I was a child, singing Jesus Loves Me in Sunday school, addressing bedtime prayers to Dear Lord Jesus, watching Bible club teachers move cutout figures across a flannel graph board, I associated Jesus with Kool-Aid and sugar cookies and gold stars for good attendance. This Jesus, he said, was a lot like Mr. Rogers. Well, when Yancey got a little bit older, he began to watch films about Jesus, and he found that the actors often portrayed him in stereotypical, serene fashion. Yancey says, and I quote, in older Hollywood films about Jesus, he recites his lines evenly and without emotion. He strides through life as the one calm character amidst a cast of flustered extras. Nothing rattles Jesus. He dispenses wisdom in flat, measured tones. He is, in short, the Prozac Jesus. And in the 1960s movie Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman sings the song Plastic Jesus, which says, "Well, I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I have my plastic Jesus. Riding on the dashboard of my car, I could go 100 miles an hour, long as I got the almighty power glued up there with my fuzzy dice." Do any of these describe the real Jesus? Well, Mr. Rogers' Jesus would be a nice neighbor. Prozac Jesus could help us stay cool-headed and have less stress. Plastic Jesus could go with us in our car. Yet even if we put them all together, they would never come close to the real, true Son of God that came to bring life and bring life abundantly. The truth is, words are limited. They cannot fully convey who Jesus is or what Jesus means to us. But I do think that the writer of Colossians has done a pretty good job of coming close when he says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on the earth or things in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of the cross." Jesus is the light in our darkness. Jesus is the way that has led us from death to life. Jesus is the bread of life that nourishes us even now. Jesus is the word and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the Son of God and the promised Messiah. He is one with God, and we address him as my Lord and my God. So back to the question, who is Jesus to you? Maybe in order to answer this question, we could all take a little bit more time to get to know him better. And maybe this week is a good time to start as we join him and the disciples at the Last Supper on Thursday night. And then as we stand there on the hill to witness the crucifixion on Friday night. And then, as we go with Mary and the disciples and look into the empty tomb and discover the best gift of all on Sunday, maybe this week is a perfect time to start. Amen.